July 11th, 2009. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Check it!
Watt from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. July 11, 2009 edition. Started off with some John Coltrane doing Say It Over and Over Again. And then we heard A Guy Who Cut His Neck 3 Times by Himself in Brazil by Vastio Ramen. And all that noise there is from our guest today, Skipper Jeff, fellow Welcome. San Pedro resident.
Ahoy.
Brother Matt, thanks for welcoming aboard, dude, brother.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pleasure.
Welcome aboard. Did you take the boat out today?
No, it was working on the boat day. The radar needed some attention.
Okay.
The belt popped off.
Been getting plenty of wind lately, huh?
Oh, it's beautiful out there right now. That's where I'd rather be. No, I want to be here, man. Yep.
Go ahead.
What do you mean? Is it safe to go out without radar?
Oh, absolutely. God, you know, I mean, I've only had to use it a half a dozen times where it, you know, gives you an advantage to get over to Catalina and you got a deadline to get back and the fog rolls in. I don't have to sit and worry about it.
Guess about what kind of hell's lurking.
Yeah, and there's hell out there. We got major shipping lanes.
Yeah, and also
storms come up. They come up quick, or just heavy water, heavy sea. We have the last week have had some waves. Surfers are at palms and stuff.
Yeah, you got white caps out there right now. You know.
Walked
out on the point. I'd be busy.
12 knots or so is when it starts capping a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more. Yeah.
It's trippy. Sometimes you can have big waves without the big wind.
Ooh.
Because there's just some kind of current.
Well, you get swells that come from storms that are offshore.
Yeah, way out, right.
You know.
Because it's happened where I'm paddling out by the lighthouse and like, wow, the water's just lifting up and it ain't that windy.
Yeah, the storms can occur thousands of miles away, and then the waves, you know, they just pick up speed as time goes by.
Right. Also, the buoy tender boat had just come by, and I was putting out. She don't move that fast, but she moves some water, and man, I could feel it.
Were you paddling this morning?
No, pedaling this morning.
Yeah.
I paddled yesterday, and I've been paddling a couple of days. I'm trying to get recording. The buoy tender's motors were so loud, of course, you know. One reason I did outside the breakwaters, Sam, for this Cuz project we're working on, he wants to get me recording paddling.
Oh, cool.
But you're hearing this motor, or in the harbor, the sounds of them working on the docks, they don't sound like open sea. And also want to get the Angel Gate Lighthouse, so I have to do it coming from the sea, not from the harbor, because there's the harbor sounds.
Yeah.
Shit slamming on the
industrial stuff.
Yeah. And then the motors from the boats. And the worst, I mean, worst as far as record, helicopters and airplanes.
Oh, I hear that, man. Yeah, I went through that, trying to have a conversation with people on the docks, and, you know, much respect to the Coast Guard, but they'll buzz our marina and circle right around, come low, and it's like...
Especially the big orange babies.
Yeah, boy, that's what we had this morning.
Big motors.
Yeah,
chop, chop.
Yeah, I give up on the conversation then.
So everybody talks so loud like you're yelling down there.
That's why. That's why.
Yeah.
So you got a big Blue Oyster Cult gig coming up, right?
Alley.
I didn't know Alan stopped playing with him. When was that happen?
Yeah, well, that's a big mystery.
It's been those three for a long time.
I saw him the last time at Catalina, ironically. They played the
Avalon Ballroom?
Avalon Ballroom. And he was there, and it was an amazing weekend, because BOC never does this. There's a little sushi bar this was 2006, just to clarify the time frame and to answer your question, that Lanier hasn't played with him since fall of 06. And I'm a regular on the BOC fan site. That's bocfans.com.
Yeah.
Some good people there. I think if the gals... name, her surname, her internet name is Alma, I believe.
Okay, Bola.
But it is spelled with an E.
Yeah, yeah, he's from Norway. Sweden.
Yeah. No, he.
I met him years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember where, the Teaser or the Palace, before it was called the Avalon. Or
he said he came out here.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Out here. The Palace is right across the street from the Capitol building.
Yeah.
On Vine.
Yeah.
And then Teaser was on Sunset at Crescent Heights. I don't even know if it's called Teaser anymore, but Palace is called Avalon Ballroom now.
Yeah.
Or just the Avalon. Avalon Ballroom's the casino in Avalon City proper.
I just communicated.
They do movies there. But in the old days, it was for big bands.
Yeah.
So, I think he was a stagehand or something.
Well, he's the lighting director at the Roxy now.
Okay.
Yeah. Real
so
busy
he might have
man.
Been working there then. But yeah. He was big BOC fan.
Oh, he's
wanted
it.
Wanted to talk to me about them and stuff.
Yeah.
So getting back to this gig in Catalina, seeing them.
Oh, yeah.
Nice time seeing Alan.
Yeah. Well, it was an amazing show because rumor had it walking around downtown Avalon, and the show was on a Monday. We got in on a Sunday, and the locals were saying, hey, BOC is going to be doing an impromptu thing at a little sushi bar. And lo and behold, it happened, but everybody showed except Alan. It was Eric and Buck, and it took them, they just picked up the house gear after they had their sushi dinner. I mean, Buck was playing through a little 60-watt line 6, you know?
Yeah.
And the drummer, oh, God, forgive me, the young guy, God dang it, brain fart. I should know it. Jules. I'm not going to pronounce his last name.
It ain't
name.
Albert Bouchon.
No. It's
the last tour he did was, they were called Soft Out White Underbell, and he actually played in Pedro. At the Dancing Waters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
early
I was
80s.
There. I was there.
Early 80s. I think that's the last 80, time Albert.
You're right. That was a brief comeback for a short little West Coast show.
I think he had a blinky bow tie.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Blinky light bow tie.
Yeah, he wore the silver pantsuits.
Well, the silver hot pants. But he wore those at the Long Beach Arena.
Yeah.
Days. I don't remember the blinky bow tie and that.
Yeah.
But this was the comeback. It was the first time I'd seen him since. So when was the first since I saw him in the old days? We saw him a lot in the 70s, but wouldn't see him again after, I don't know, Spectres. And then we saw this comeback thing, Soft White Underbelly. When was the first time you saw Blue Oyster Cult?
I'll never forget. It was my birthday, March 13th, 1975, Spokane Coliseum.
God, I saw him before you did.
Some weak psychedelics, and my life has never been the same since.
I saw him before you then. I think I've seen him. Yeah. They were doing some songs. I think it was a Tyranny tour. Maybe at the Long Beach Auditorium?
Wow. So that's 72, 73.
73, I think, which has been torn down, and it's now the Long Beach Opera House.
Yeah.
I saw T-Rex there, and then I saw him. They were playing some Secret Treaties. I don't think it was out yet, but it was Long Beach Arena. And those days that you would always open up with Stairway to the Stars.
Yeah. They still do from time to time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then they went right into Career of Evil.
Yeah.
I remember KNAC used to broadcast. In fact, McCoy, what was his name? Jim McCoy? The DJ there? He's a Texas guy, but DJ'd at KNAC at Long Beach Radio Station. They would broadcast gigs from
him. Yeah.
And so I had a tape off the radio. I mean, where you literally, you know, the two button push down right next to the radio, no line in it.
Yeah.
And I had cassette, and I listened to this at work. I had a job tying LA Times, and this big kind of string sewing machine. And it was... No, maybe second song was OD'd on Life, and then Career of Evil.
Yeah.
But they played, like, ME-262 and Harvester Advise. They played some of the Secret Treaties. And then the next year they came around, one of the songs made it to On Your Feet or On Your Knees, Before the Kiss.
Yeah, one of my personal favorites.
Which is so much.
I love the jazzy break in that. You know? Yeah, yeah. Where it becomes like a little rap. No, where Buck does it. You know. Da, 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 da. Oh my God! I should know the lyrics. Yeah. Bola slaps me.
There's a solo that starts that off.
That's right.
And then it sounds like Circus Calliope.
Yeah.
The album version. It's so much different. And strange guitar live. You know, they would change, like, Odeed on Life was much different than the album. The album had, like, kind of Beach Boys chorus with the high harmonies. And the live, they... In fact, there was a CD version of Tyranny Has Some Live.
Yeah.
Bonus tracks, and they got it like the live.
Oh, version. So you're still buying the records, then? You're getting the remasters.
I was actually given them.
Oh, okay.
I played them on the show here. I don't have any today.
Well, I brought you something special today, speaking of BOC. There's one of their fans is a music teacher at a high school or junior high school in Washington State, and they teach a chorus. The group is called the Dorian Singers, and every year he teaches them a Blue Oyster Cult song, and I burned you a disc that has these little choir girls all a cappella singing BOC songs.
Like Petra.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite one is Flaming Telepaths. These little girls are, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they played that one too. They played the one Meltzer wrote, K.G. Creighton.
Yeah.
I think he wrote, he wrote Harvester Vice too. And that's much different than the album. They started off with the synthesizer.
Yeah.
It goes, instead of just the rhythm guitar.
Yeah.
They would make things different from their studio albums.
Yeah.
Of course, some songs got all stretched out into mega jams.
Yeah.
Some songs Buck Dharma would end up playing by himself for like 10 minutes in the middle.
Yeah. Well, then there was the five guitars too.
And that came after.
Yeah.
That came after he would play with. In fact, that was an ME-262, and he would do this dually with. It's not an On Your Feet or On Your Knees one version of it, where he's doing a duel with Albert on the drums. And then Albert just gets off the drums and gets a guitar. Actually, it's four guitars because Joe stayed on the bass.
Yeah, well, it's technical. Yeah. So, bass isn't a guitar?
I wonder. Because the traditional bass is more like a giant violin. I guess if your violin's like a guitar.
Yeah.
But that's actually where it came from.
Yeah.
Leo Fender had country western friends.
Hey,
used to tour in those days. Is before vans. They toured in station wagons, and fucking stand-up basses, Bogarted. They'd have to tie them to the roofs, so it was very hard to tour with them. Yeah. So he just upscaled his Telecaster guitar to make the electric bass, and that's why he called it precision, because it's got frets.
Yeah.
Because the real basses were like giant violins. There's no frets.
Yeah.
So if you have frets, you're gonna be precisely, you don't have to worry about your intonation. And also, the recording him was tough. There'd be a lot of feedback getting a microphone in there because they're a big chamber. In fact, one of their nicknames was Doghouse.
Huh.
They called him, you know, it was like big dog. Right. So, you can say the bass guitar is kind of a guitar, but it was trying to copy actual bass.
Right.
In fact, the first basses, including his, all had mutes. They had this either rubber or felt or foam that would go up against a string, so it would mute them, so they'd go boop, 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 and try to sound like these stand-ups.
Yeah.
Not really sound like a guitar.
Right.
That came later with maybe John Entwistle or Jack Bruce. And, of course, the cat who really got the bass guitar going, who's on all the Motown records, is James Jamerson. And he comes from the stand-up, and he played with one finger. They called it the hook. And he kind of even played it up like this.
Yeah.
You can't see on the radio, but I've got a big angle. Have you ever seen Bill Wyman kind of played that style?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Bill Wyman, everybody thinks Jaco Pastorius is the first to take frets off. Because what happened later down the line was they wanted to go back to the stand-up sound without frets, so you could slide around like a violin. And Bill Wyman had some Econo bass in England, and he says he pulled his out like in 64, 65. And Jaco doesn't do it till the late 60s. And they filled in the grooves with epoxy. Oh. So the round wound strings would tear up the fretboard because they're not sitting on the frets. Right. There's no frets anymore. Right. But also it'd serve as little markers.
Yeah.
Right? Where you filled in with the epoxy. And,
wow.
I think Wyman just left them. Just had these grooves sitting there, yeah.
He's going to be like, what, 72 this month or next month?
Yeah. Wow. I read about it in his book. He has a book that talks about the Stones up to Brian Jones.
Yeah.
It's called Stone Alone.
He's only 3 years younger than my mom, man.
But he was the oldest cat among them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, born in 36, I think.
Yeah. Got a trippy guy. Trippy bass parts. Yeah. A player. But I always liked the BOC bass player, Joe Bouchard. We were talking, you came to a Pedro gig, a Harold's gig. That's where you met Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Brought you his new record, too.
Oh, yeah. But he's playing guitar.
That's true.
Right.
I think he's playing a lot of instruments on that, but I...
Oh, really?
I sent him a...
I know he's playing gigs and stuff, and he's playing guitar.
Yeah. He's got a harmony.
You're from Washington State.
Yes, sir.
What, Puget Sound?
Yep, all over. Born in Manhattan, but we moved. Parents did missionary work and eventually worked our way back around the world and into California and back up to Washington. It's a long story. Went to like 5 grade schools.
Oh, yeah, almost like Navy guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Military, you get the orders.
Yeah.
You had to move. So that's why you saw them first.
In Spokane.
Yeah.
I was living in Walla Walla.
Way far from the water, central Washington.
Yeah, well, we, Dad moved east. He was a journalist. He was, went to work for the, as the editor for the Walla Walla Union Bulletin, but prior to that, we were in Bremerton, which is on the Sound, and
yeah,
he was
sure.
The editor there, and we had sailboats, all growing up, so...
Yeah, you talked about your pop going to Alaska by himself.
Yeah, that's what he did. As soon as he got the time off in the retirement, he single-handed a 25-footer up there and kept it up there for two years.
So he got you into the boats.
Yes, sir.
So when are you coming to Pedro?
When am I coming to Pedro?
Yeah, when did you get here?
Oh, when did I move here? Oh, I lived in California for 25 years and just moved to Pedro from... Tahunga in 2004, and which is near La Crescenta.
Yeah,
off the 210. Yeah, lived all over Pasadena and El Monte and
Bob Starrs.
Yeah,
he's going to be supposed to be by here today.
Yeah,
he's from that area.
Oh, cool.
Sierra Madre.
Yeah,
he grew up. He said the smog was really bad.
Yeah,
so that's the first place you came to in Cali.
Actually, Silver Lake.
Silver Lake.
Yeah.
25 years ago.
Yeah.
It was much different then.
Yeah.
Wow.
I worked for the LA Weekly for 2.5 years. So
it's like Minutemen days.
That's exactly how
in fact,
I met
July
you.
July 25th is of this month, what's in 2 weeks, is 25th anniversary.
Oh.
Yeah. Of the album coming out.
Double Nickels.
Yeah, Double Nickels on the Dime. That album. Well, it is that album for me.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm going to fly to New York City that day, and there's some celebration at the Bowery Poetry Club.
Cool.
Was one of your songs called Bob Dylan Wrote Protest Songs?
No, Propaganda Songs.
Propaganda Songs.
First song on What Makes a Man Start Fires.
Oh, okay.
So it ain't on that album, but... Oh. I recorded maybe the year before, a year and a half before.
My brother said to ask you about that because he was a Bob Dylan fanatic at the time, and his girlfriend was a Minutemen fan, and she goes, "Don't feed me any more of that Dylan. Listen to this."
Yeah, but you know, like most things, the Minutemen things got confused because actually it was not a bad thing about Bob Dylan. We were feeling a little afraid about getting too personal with our feelings, but then we thought, well, fuck, Bobby Dylan does it.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't be afraid either.
Yeah.
Well, D. Boone wasn't afraid. I was afraid. But I was into Dylan as a kid. He's probably the first person I thought that wrote words that were kind of trippy in songs, you know, yeah. as far as meanings. I thought most lyrics in songs was like lead guitar, it was just for sounds. But he seemed like some weird uncle would show up at Thanksgiving and be muttering shit that nobody was really paying attention to, except curious young person. And so that's the way I thought it was. I thought it had some kind of strange insight, or I don't know, it's like he was trying to do something with like words. Like last night, I saw the Shakespeare here. You've seen this? But for 12 years at Point Fermin by the lighthouse, this little troupe is put on
Shakespeare gigs.
And it was Love's Labor Lost, a romantic comedy kind of thing. Mixed up letters, mixed up identities. It was packed. Man, there's a lot of folks here, a lot different. I've been to a few of them over the years, and it's growing, man.
Yeah.
Is it going on tonight, too? Or?
Yeah.
Is it tonight? Thursday and Friday.
Saturday.
I think there's going to be... it's tonight, too?
I think so.
I know with the last one in August, like the 8th and the 9th are the big ones. Yeah. It goes, and now they do it like Dondo, and maybe there's an Orange County one. They travel around, too, the same troupe.
Yeah, they're good.
ShakespeareByTheSea.org.
There's some music thing going on out here tomorrow, right?
Sunday's concerts in the park.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got...
they do that, but it's all the same bands, right?
Every year.
Hindsight, you ever heard of them?
No, yeah, but I know Wingtips and...
yeah.
110 South.
Oh. Yeah, that's part of that crew.
Yeah.
They have some connects with the city, so... They're always playing. It's usually the 60s.
Yeah.
Songs. But it's kind of neat, you know, to have...
Cover bands, right?
It'd be neat to have maybe some of the young Pedro bands play out there.
Yeah, I guess like some local blood. Yeah, last week was Janis Joplin, cover band.
Yeah.
How was she?
That ain't cool.
No. Fair enough.
So... Why did you come to Cali for the work to do the weekend?
Yeah, man, break out my wonderful career as a graphic designer so I could afford a boat.
Yeah, she's always wanted a boat.
I basically thought I was always going to inherit Dad's, but Mom wouldn't let him keep it, so.
Okay.
But
did
no,
you do the paddle boats in the Echo Park thing?
God, no, I live close to there.
You know, they had those little rental.
I had a little scooter that I'd take into the city and drive from Silver Lake past that. Yeah, that's a nice park.
Yeah, but you probably was waiting to move closer to the coast, huh?
You know, I think I always wanted to, but, you know, you get caught up in the city. I liked living in Silver Lake. The clubs were close.
Yeah.
Speaking of back then...
On Club or whatever.
Oh, yeah, or down there on Silver Lake.
That was
Boulevard.
The first place I played in Silver Lake. It was on Sunset.
Yeah.
Kind of a ska.
Yeah.
Bands.
Yeah.
Fishbone and Orange County Kids and come
was on
scooters. That's what I remember before there was a Silver Lake scene.
Yeah.
It's mainly kind of Latin working neighborhood.
Yeah. Hey, when I first saw you, I was working at the Weekly. I was real new. And, you know, I came down here. Unemployment was like 18%
in
Washington State when I came down here. Mm-hmm. And I came down here with my little tax refund looking. For anything, you know, it was dried up. It was just the advertising art graphics community in Seattle is very small, and so it was time to expand and see the world, and came down here. And anyways, within the first month I was working at the Weekly, somebody announced that the Minutemen were going to be playing Elvira Street at lunchtime. And so, yeah, a bunch of us from the Weekly piled in, and we all went down and we saw you. There were other gigs at that time period, like Tex and the Horseheads. And, you know, you get a few little tourists. It was like on a weekday, so the crowds weren't very big. But that's the first time I saw you, man.
Oh, wow.
Probably 82, 83 in there somewhere.
Wow.
You remember that gig?
Yeah.
You were just cutting your teeth, man.
Yeah, well, we're a couple of years into it. We started in January of 80.
Okay.
And we had a band before that called the Reactionaries that started in 78.
That's right.
Okay, and me and D-Boom were copying BOC songs starting like 14 maybe in a bedroom. So, but it's, the Minuteman, it was in the first half of our journey.
Saw you at the Cathay.
I think I was still playing with a pick then. 82, 83. That's Fires, What Makes Man Start Fires.
Yeah.
Songs like Bob Dylan wrote propaganda songs. Mm-hmm. The Anchor. Anchor's the first time we went over 2 minutes. It's our opus. Speaking of the 70s and stuff, here's some music from the 70s.
Thank you.
From Pedro show. That was something new from Z called Heavy Tetsu. Heavy the Snake. I can't remember what Tetsu is. Oh, fuck, my memory. But they're getting ready to make a new album, and that's kind of a demo, but I like it as it is. And then we heard something from the 70s, something, it was a collective, I think almost like 300 people or something. Not in a band, but some kind of art thing called the Yamashiro Art Group. And that's a piece called Oso Reizan. And it had actually had a health warning on the album cover because it starts off with this, like you heard, you know, this blood-curdling scream. So I guess people had to be warned so they didn't have heart attack. I mean, for those days. You should probably use this thing because a microphone hears that.
Kush factor.
Yeah, the Kush factor. So, this Cucamonga boat you got.
Pride of Cucamonga.
Yeah. Is that your first boat that
no.
has been yours?
Yeah, no, it's the second one. The first one was called the Pride of Cucamonga as well, but it was a substandard trailer sailer. It was a McGregor 22. Only weighed less than a ton. The Cucamonga is 3.5 tons, and almost half of the boat is ballast. It's got 2,900 pounds of lead in the bottom.
Yeah, this is a sailboat.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah. Well, so was the other one. Was but it was.
I mean, really sail, so you can like get. I mean,
this
get into the water.
This boat.
If you have a light bottom end, you can't really do dangerous.
Well,
stuff,
I did
right?
dangerous stuff with that other boat. It had a 500-pound keel, and I used to sail it out of Oxnard to the Channel Islands.
Is that where you did the hell ride?
That's where I did the big hell ride. Yeah,
you got caught in a storm.
Scariest day of my life on too small a boat with a crew member that I dubbed
Very
Captain
sick.
Upchuck.
Yeah.
Was useless all day, and when I let go of the. I mean, that's a long story. I was dragging anchor. The wind's piped up over at Santa Cruz Island at about 4 o'clock in the morning, about 30 knots. And next thing I know, I popped out the hatch, and we're getting dragged out to sea. Tried to reset anchor in pitch darkness, and it wouldn't hold. So I, after I tangled...
We're
in
going
some,
home.
Well, I... After I tangled with somebody else's boat, I go, enough of this. We got freed from there, and there's one buoy over there that's for the ranger that you're not supposed to use. But, you know, when it's a panic situation like it was, I tied off on that. And till the sun, when the sun came up, it was still building, and all the other boats were bailing. I got on the radio and talked to one of the other boats. What would you do? And he goes, "Well, get a double reef in that main and go for it. You know, we're getting out of here." And they had a 50-footer, so we did it. And once I let go, it was just like launching like a rocket with not much sail up. And I my hands were shaking pretty bad. To be honest with you, it was the scariest day of my life because, gusting to 45 knots. Later in the day, we had, 12-foot seas, probably bigger when I crossed it.
Long story. Plowing through some walls of water.
Oh, right? Yeah. When we got out of the lee of the island, that's the protected side, then all of a sudden, big waves, and my passenger, who wasn't sick at the time, he pointed up and the sails were already starting to tear.
Yeah. People, you got to know, when it's like that, you got to head into them. You can't let them get
exactly.
You on the beam, it's going to roll you. So you got to plow into these things.
Yeah.
And they trough up, so you go down from the first to right?
You know, it came back to me, because I'd been in stuff like that as a kid, even, back in my 12 years old or something with my dad, and crossing the Straits of Juan de Fuca, which is a big body of water between Washington and Canada. Mm-hmm. And it all came back to me. You kind of snake through the six.
Right.
And if one comes, coming at you, you want to take it head off, but you look at the wells, whether on the port or the starboard, and to go for that.
You can kind of see that where they curve up. They're kind of running into each other and canceling out a little bit.
Yeah, and sometimes they just come together.
Yeah, right.
Right, and lift you way up in the air.
The thing like that is right here at the jetty. Because they come off they reflect off the breakwater.
Yeah.
And then the jetty, and they run into each other.
Exactly.
And if it's heavy, man, they make incredible the energy released. And it's in the sea. It's not up against the jetty or the breakwater.
Yeah.
It's a reflective thing coming back.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like a snapper.
Yeah.
I can imagine getting too close in.
Yeah, I don't like it there. It's always a little bouncy there.
No, I think
coming
they did
around
that
the lighthouse.
Because the sand at Cabrilla Beach was brought from Catalina, and it's an anti-erosion thing.
Right.
Keep the sea from bringing all that sand
right.
in. I don't think it's for nowadays.
Yeah.
Because it causes all kinds of screwy.
Well, that wall got knocked out, I guess, a couple years before
right there, Storm 83. Brother Matt's got a poster. Five holes poked in it. They had to fill up five holes with boulders.
Yeah, and I heard it took out a bunch of docks at Flight Brothers? Is that what they call that?
Yeah.
The crappy docks across the way?
Yeah, once it got through, can you imagine the surge?
Oh, that was 83.
Yeah, so we're talking 25 years ago, 26 years ago.
Oh, man.
It was a whaler.
Yeah.
To punch holes in that breakwater. Which was pretty solid since 1911.
Very solid.
Yeah.
Huge. And you'll see, too, they just pile boulders.
Yeah.
Some repairs are with sacks filled with cement.
Yeah.
But, wet cement, and then it hardens up. And I mean, big sacks.
Yeah.
But then they just fuck it, and there's just boulders piled.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't really get a mason.
Well, you can see where it's repaired. Yeah, you see the difference in the color and the stones out there.
No, I mean, you'll see those... Where the holes punched through, just piles of rock.
Right.
Yeah. We're at the end of the first hour, July 11, 2009, Watford Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. July 11, 2009, it's the second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Yeah, this is going to be crazy.
Sonic Oddity.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Don't you love me yet? Grab
press up against the amp. Turn off the treble, don't forget. Get dizzy, spinning around. Sacred chicken and the no-tech sound. I wish I could be music on a tree. Noise, no misery. Levitating on the ground.
Living, the edge of it free. Don't escape my skin. Surprise.
Watt from Pedro Show. Starting off the second hour is Sacred Trickster by Sonic Youth. That's a live acoustic thing they did, I think, in Canada last week. And then we heard 1622. That was a good year, right? By, I think these cats are from Long Island. Somewhere in New York City. Long Island people probably wouldn't want it called New York City. Although Brooklyn and Queens, that's the west part of Long Island. It's so strange about
Mothership.
So, but to them it's a big difference. The band's called Fatal Erection. And then we heard Early California by Empty Eyes. Now, Empty Eyes, I don't know if a lot of you know this, but I have a brother that's 30 years younger than me named Justin. Just a couple years before my pop died. Same pop. And he's got a band now, and they're called Empty Eyes. And that's
Sacramento zone, does he live?
No, near Fresno, called Clovis.
Yeah.
Told me he wants to learn about a foreign land, so he wants to check out Japan. So I said, he asked me, what should I see? And I told him, maybe small town, maybe Kyoto, and then the countryside. And then, so that's a song called Early California that they did, his first recording ever. And then we heard Motor Boy by Zipgun. Now, they are a New York band, I know that. I think Fatal Erection is, too. Shit, I hope I didn't fuck that up. And then we heard an Australian band called Selfish Gene and Cop Chase. Do you know about the Selfish Gene? Wasn't there a book called that? And it's kind of like meme theory.
Oh, okay. Like languages as infection.
Yeah, you use an analog, an analogy to concept of ideas, a biological analog like virus.
Yeah, it's like that. Like a virus around.
Yeah, how the ideas permeate through culture and this shit. They would use an analog like of biology and viruses. And there's big arguments over whether that's full of shit, just a cute assumption or something. I think that was the book that fired all that off. But it also could be some dude named Gene that's shared shit.
Or a girl named Gene.
This is with the G.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Maybe. Yeah, Gene, I got it the first time.
That's what you name birds, right? The non-colorful male birds. You can't tell, like pigeons and shit.
Yeah.
You give them those names like Pat.
Yeah.
Fish, I think. So you hedge your bets on it. Okay, so you come out to Cali with the boats. You've never had a scary thing since that. Where were you living then? Because that's pretty north of here.
I was living in Tujunga, and yeah, I was
You would come way out.
I was racking the miles to go to. I was freelancing for those couple of years that I had that boat, and so I had some time. I could go up there, but yeah, man, every weekend, 70 miles each way to Channel Islands Marina in Oxnard. Yeah.
Wow.
And but I kept the boat out.
The Navy Air Base.
Yeah, very close to there. Yeah, yeah. Right, they border. They're right next to each other. Yeah. The public marinas and the Navy. Yeah, you see some interesting ships.
It's
out
changed
there.
A lot now. Yeah. I remember that's when. You know, PCH, US 101, and it went down to, like, surface streets. They had no... It just went down to townland.
Yeah, when they were doing that big 101 highway expansion when I was hanging out there. I liked it out there, man. Silver Strand Beach and...
Gets a little cold, but it's a lot more space, a lot more casual.
Yeah, it was interesting. And then, you know, you got the Channel Islands, which are just amazing national
parks. I've never been out there.
You know, they've got this deal... It's a haul for me to take my boat up there from here. It's like almost 70 miles sailed, and it's all time for me. I'm a working man, but I've been to Anacapa Island and Santa Cruz Island, and just a couple anchorages on both islands. But I tell you the you know it's national park, but the wildlife you see there. I saw the L.A. pod, killer whales, with my dad in October of 2001. That's bizarre to see killer whales at night. It was dusk. And what are those? Look at the dorsal fins. Are those killer whales? And we've seen them up north, but... And I've seen...
Sometimes there's been rare pod things down here. Well, there's a whale-watching boat that came on one, and everybody was like, yeah. And then they start tearing up seals in front of them.
Wow. Those are transient bunches, because they're a little more aggressive.
Yeah, well, they got the one group, they call it the L.A. pod, you know, so...
Yeah, they're following currents and obviously chow. And then there's different kinds. Some that just eat the little stuff, and then some that go after big mammals, like sea lions.
Speaking of currents, it's a convergence zone where you have the cold current coming down the northern California coast meets a warmer current, and it's right there around the elbow of California, which is Point Conception. Mm-hmm. So you get, you know, just this abundance of life that starts with the plankton, the krill and stuff, and then that just brings everything from the anchovies and then bigger fish and bigger fish. So you got great whites and
a lot of sharks up there.
Yeah.
More than here.
And then they have the big rookery, elephant sea lions out on San Miguel. That's way out there. I've never made it out there.
I've seen the elephant seals on PCH by San Simeon in Hearst Castle. They're all laying on the beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big brothers.
Yeah.
They got some cool kayaking trips out to the Channel Islands. A little mothership out there. And
That's where those two guys, they just found pieces of the kayak. Maybe sharks got them.
Yeah, well, I've seen those guys cross, and it's very popular to go to Anacapa because it's only like 12 miles, 11 nautical miles, I think, to Anacapa Island.
Still to paddle, man. There's a current.
Yeah.
You got to be strong or you're getting carried away.
Well, they have this company called Island Packers, and they'll haul you out there
and
leave you on the island, whether you got a kayak or anything, and as long as you want. You want to go for a weekend, they'll take you by boat or plane and dump you off with all your gear and come back and get you whenever you want. They got packages and it's even the trips I did out there, it's, you know, you got to prepare for that. And I was on a little boat. A 22-foot, 1,800-pound boat. I get over there, and there are guys with big cruisers and stuff. They go, you sailed that thing over here? I sailed over there with my pops a couple of times, you know, and it's minimal. It's like camping. I mean, you got a porta-potty on the thing, and then landing on the beaches with the dinghy. Prepare for a wet landing, man. I came in on an inflatable, and it almost tossed me head over heels. There's not much. It's either rocks or surf, you know. So, but the beaches there is totally different than Catalina. You actually find shells. I don't know if they're conch or whatever, but it's just so preserved, you know. It's, the wildlife. I've seen the free-swimming lobsters, langostino, I think they're called, and they kind of scoot across just under the surface. So I went out and bought this big net. Never made it back up there with that net. I was hoping to scoop those babies up, just put them in the pot, you know. But I've just seen, it's just amazingly fresh. And first time I spent the night out there, it was kind of surreal, you know. You know, and looking down through the mist and the darkness, and I can see Anacapa from Santa Cruz Island. I'm just thinking, I'm going, man, I'm just hanging from this thread on the side of an island in the middle of the ocean. And I was just like, yeah, it was just kind of surreal. Now I'm used to it. I've done Catalina with this boat 27 times. So a lot of these people down here with the boats, they sit. They just own them to say they own them.
Go have a cocktail maybe once in a while.
I was watching my dock neighbor today. He's got a power boat, and he's a transplant from Great Lakes area. He just comes down and reads his book. Granted, he's pushing 70, but he's got a nice big old cabin cruiser, and I'm seeing
him sitting
there, you know.
Okay, let's hear some more music.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was The Litigious Mike Love by The Gang Fought featuring Interloper. Is that a name for a band?
Mike Love beats those.
Well, no, The Litigious Mike Love is litigious. Like somebody uses the law a lot. Right. Mike Love, obviously, maybe a Beach Boy member. And but the Gang of Gang Fought featuring Interloper is a band with Sporting Greg Norton of the Huskers. And I think the guy's from the Bad Plus, friends of his. And a little math rock here. And then we heard One Way Trip, in parentheses, Cosmonaut. And that was by D-Pole. And D-Pole's a band from the Ukraine, from a water town called Odessa. You know about Odessa? The big water there.
Okay.
You know what it is?
No.
How's your geography? You're on the spot, on the air. It's called Black Sea. I think it's
the biggest
sea, right? And Odessa's on this, yeah. So it's a sea town, but not an ocean sea town. But that's a big ass sea. You're saying a lake. The biggest lake is Superior. Black Sea. I wonder what that, maybe the water salinity or not?
Yeah, it could be.
Seas are salty and maybe lakes are...
I don't know, man. I watch National Geographic all the time.
Terminology, but they are a sea town. And then before that, a band from Ireland called Adabisi Shank, which might be maybe Celtic. I don't know. And the song called Agassi Shank. It's good music. They're on tour right now with my friends in Light.
Oh, cool.
Playing... over there. I think Eiko-san's going to see him. It's in the next couple of days they do Nagoya.
Cool.
So, a little notey stuff. Skipper Jeff just gave me something from 68.
Yeah. I wish I had some names for you. It's a band
called Gracious.
Yeah, and they actually toured with the Who back then in one of the early... Well, it wouldn't
How'd
be
you
early.
Come across it?
God, I was... my best friend's brother in high school turned me on to so much music back in Walla Walla, like Zappa and stuff. And it came out of his collection, and I totally forgot about it. And then once the internet rolled around and things were easier to research, I was able to find it, and I ordered it from Germany. But speaking,
is that
of,
where they're from?
No, they're from England, and they're prog rock and heavily laden with harpsichord and mellotron
kind
and
of baroque.
I would like to classify it psychedelic baroque, yeah.
How far from Ellensburg? Pretty close. Yakima.
50 miles now, maybe more like 150. It's been a while.
Is it that far?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that far.
I think it's 350.
Where the screaming trees are from.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I once played in Walla Walla at a high school, and... I remember it was us, Screaming Trees, and Slovenly, the band Tom Watson was in the old days. And I remember at the end of the night, I had to split up $8 between the three bands.
Yeah. Rolling.
Yeah. It was all right. Do you know about Spin Cycle?
I listened to it on my commute. Yeah, I've almost driven off the freeway in a trance more than once. You know.
Well, it's time right now.
All right.
Get ready to be driven off now, Brother Matt.
Yeah, cool.
Professionalism, which really gives the songs a big boost. Want to play in that game. You want to reclaim your mind and get it out of the hands of the cultural engineers who want to turn you into a half-baked moron consuming all this trash that's being manufactured out of the bones of a dying world. Where is that at? One more layer in the obscene layering that takes meaning out of life and disempowers us and turns us into a subscription customer. That seems to be how we always are being forced to end up. Well, the only way out of this, I think, is to, it takes courage, because you have to turn your back on your culture. In the most profound sense there is, because there are many ways to turn your back on your culture. I mean, if everyone's wearing gray, you can wear green. That's one way to turn your back on a culture. But another way is to break its laws. Now, that's a little more serious and, you know, brings in big philosophical issues. But in fact, the culture is an enormous arrow pointing, go this way. And you know what lies that way? Impoverishment, madness, degradation, and death. that's where the culture is pointing. You can see it. You can see it. Just look where we're headed. If everyone on Earth aspires to the kind of lifestyle that you people can enjoy by virtue of having paid the money to be at a scene like this, there isn't enough glass, metal, and plastic in the planet to make that many Celicas and Jaguars and Bluebirds and Snowbirds and all the rest of this crap. So what is needed is an awakening. What is really interesting about the psychedelic experience is it shows you a mental universe that you not only never suspected existed, but that you could not have suspected existed. I don't think there's another way to it. I mean, I'm not ready to categorically say there's no other way to it. And occasionally, especially at gatherings like this, people grab me and assure me there are other ways to it. And they say, you know, if you just, I want you to meet Babaji. He's as good as psilocybin. And, oh, really? I want to meet this man. because I mean, I let me say a little bit more about this. I would like to believe that in principle you could get to these places on the Natch. Only in principle, however, because if some people say, well, you know, these things you describe on DMT and psilocybin, I can show you how to do that naturally. No.
Brother Matt, thank you for another installment of the Spin Cycle. What was it for this? Today?
Psychedelic chill, I guess.
It's working.
Some in that ballpark.
With the
twist.
Without a power out.
Yeah, that was kind of bunk, but this round two worked better.
We've had some people join us.
Welcome.
Bob Stiers, Ms. Peak.
Hi.
And your buddy David.
Yep.
From Studio City.
Yep.
All right. I was telling Peak that's where Kay lives. Because there's a lot of work with the studios.
See it.
She does audio and sound effects for movie and televisions.
Awesome.
Yeah, I taught her after 25 years of programming. She got tired of that shit. Taught herself that, and last year got an Emmy.
Awesome.
Wow.
Noah. For the John Adams miniseries. Yeah.
That's the coolest picture of her with this big trophy, and she's got this sleeveless dress on. You can see a little black flag bar. Yeah. Never knew she had them. Cool.
She's got them. She just did a Clint Eastwood movie on Nelson Mandela.
She actually fixes the sound where there's drop-off.
She does all kinds of things. A lot of times when they're filming, they can't have the mic on the actor all the time, so the actor has to come in after and just start spieling his lines. She has to put him in there.
Get Raymond going on that.
She has to just,
do some Foley.
Mm. Yeah, works with Foley people. Those are the sound effects people. Has to make different versions, you know. There's when you bring on a foreign language, you got to have just the sound effects and the English dialogue. So, stuff like that. So a lot of her work with Pro Tools.
Right.
She's amazing. So it's great to record Dose with her. Well, we don't need another take there. Here, let's hear something from the Opium Joe group. Thank you.
Yeah. We heard a construction tune by the Opium Joe Group, and we're at the end of the second hour of the July 11th, 2009 Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour three. July 11th, 2009. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show, and here's part six, courtesy of ZBS Media, ZBS.org. Z is in zebra, B is in beach ball, S is in sailboat.
Thank you.
Part six of Jack Flanders in the White Castle.
All right.
Rose. What?
I'm here.
What?
Do you see?
See what?
Do you see me?
Where?
I'm sitting on the edge of your bed.
Who are you?
Who do I look like?
You look like me.
I am you.
You can't be me.
I am more you than you.
If you are, then who am I?
Don't you know?
I think I do.
Do you really?
Yeah. This is me.
But aren't you who you aren't?
No. And who are you?
I am who you are.
Then who am I?
You are someone who has no idea who she is.
I'm going back to sleep.
Well, dream on, dreamer.
And then you woke up?
I was awake.
You sure about that?
Yes, I am.
So you saw yourself sitting on your bed.
At the foot of my bed.
Well, when she stood up to leave, did you feel the mattress shift?
You mean, did she have substance?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
So it could have been a dream.
It wasn't. Believe me.
Well, I believe you. Because I had one like that happen to me last night.
Mojo?
Who's that?
You know who.
Are you Mojo too?
I'm Sojo. Mojo.
I think I've seen you around.
Every time you look in the mirror.
You're not my reflection. You're Mojo's little demon.
One of many.
What can Mojo do for Slojo?
You're going to have to figure it out.
How you been?
I've been better.
Tell me about it.
Life is boring.
Boring isn't bad.
For a demon, it is.
You just got to stop and smell the roses.
Tell me about it.
So you woke up, and there was a demon.
Oh, yeah. Big as life.
In the flesh.
Well, I wouldn't say flesh, but real enough.
What happened?
We had a little talk.
And that's it?
Well, he was easy.
You were disappointed?
He was kind of a wimp.
Your demon was a wimp?
Yeah, he was too easy.
So you got rid of him, just like that?
Well, he was a little hungry.
What did you do?
I fed him.
Anyone else have dreams?
I did. My genie returned.
Was he wearing a turban?
He was. He woke me in the middle of the night.
Bonjour, Dominique.
What? So you are the genie in the shell?
I am your genie.
Where are my three wishes?
Did I offer three?
You did.
But you know what always happens with wishes.
No. What?
You wish for something, you get it. But you never considered what else comes with it. And your next wish is to undo your first wish. But that only makes it worse. And so you wish you'd never made a wish in the first place. And you end up where you started. Sadder, wishless, but wiser.
I want my wishes.
You'll wish you hadn't?
I want my wishes.
All right. What do you wish for?
I wish I had 1,000 more wishes.
Dominique, if you think your life is confusing now, you have no idea what hell it'll be if you always get what you wish for.
You won't give it to me?
Ask for what you need.
I don't want what I need.
Think about it.
I want what I want.
I'll be around.
Wait. I know what I need.
What?
Love.
Love?
I need love.
Dominique, love will bring you nothing but...
That was a sad dream.
I didn't get my wish.
Oh, don't be too sure about that.
I had a nightmare last night.
Why? What happened?
I was asleep, minding my own business.
Wake up, Johnny.
Huh?
Rise and shine.
What time is it? Oh, it's 3 a.m.
Time to greet the new day.
Oh, leave me alone.
You're not making much progress with Rosie, are you, Johnny?
What's it to you?
Maybe I got some tips for you.
I'm doing okay. Leave me alone.
Looks to me like you're sleeping alone, Johnny.
She needs time.
You're a nitwit, you know that?
I said leave me alone.
Come on, get up.
I'm telling you, beat it.
You are such a klutz.
Well, that's it. I'm going to count the tree.
Oh, now he's giving me the count.
One.
I think he's getting sore.
Two.
Is that steam I see?
Three.
And look who's still here.
All right, that's it.
Whoa, wait. Hey.
Out you go.
Take it easy.
And don't come back. Now I got to get some sleep. Wait a minute. Hey, you. Wake up.
What is it?
Get out of my bed.
Hey, come on.
You're going out on your ear, buddy.
Oh, yo.
And stay out. Took care of you. Oh, no.
Oh, is that you or is that me?
That's it. No more fooling. Take that.
Oh.
And that.
Ah.
And that.
Oh. Oh.
Phew. They'll never get back to sleep.
Probably not. But I will.
Great.
And it went on like that all night?
No, I gave up.
Did you get any sleep?
I let him have the bed. I slept in the chair.
Was he there in the morning?
Gone.
Did you talk to your demon?
Yeah, I talked to him.
What did he want?
I didn't ask.
Well, next time, ask.
Next time I'm really going to boot his butt.
Well, it seems to me it's your butt that's getting the boot.
I got something up my sleeve.
Well, Jack, I remember you told me something that your Uncle Giles once said.
What was that?
A thousand-armed demon has something up many sleeves.
fly, fly, dragon fly, 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 dragon fly, dragon fly, dragon fly, 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 dragon fly, 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 a dragon fly.
Inadequate as a man.
8 years.
Well, so what, did you bring
what's
any
the term?
Did Pete, did you bring any of that sexual position music you were listening to? Was it someone you
we're on the air book? Now, Brother Matt.
It was not a pretty good song. It was pretty crazy.
Okay.
No sexual position. How to pick up other women than yours.
It's to get to lead up to sexual positions.
It's not to lead up to get women to do whatever you want them to do.
Oh, I like them.
Yeah. Music.
Did you bring it?
Submit.
That sounds like a
how to turn them into silly puppies.
Get them enthusiastic.
And no.
What about getting men enthusiastic? Okay.
Done.
Dude, part six. We're more than halfway through now this adventure with Jack Flanders in the White Castle.
Jack.
Going through the trips. Through the mind trips. The mind movie. Then we heard Dragonfly by Andrea Soler.
Thank you, motorcycles. And then Demolition Man by the Chatham Singers, which I think is another Billy Childish. I think that's what, number 250 now. This cat puts out albums like.
Is that the same song, Demolition Man?
Childish. He's also a painter and a poet. Big mustache. This guy's prolific. Kind of a garage band sound. He's different things.
Where's he from?
Milkshakes, England.
That's what I thought.
And that's a new incarnation for him. So, pretty good stuff. Let's see. Do we get back to Blue Oyster Cult? What did you really like about him, the Skipper Jim?
Oh, my God. I just, you know, it has to go. I got to be honest here.
What did you like about him as a boy?
Well, yeah, I'm having a hard time. It's my psychedelic past. I think there was a place I was living in Walla Walla, Washington, and the one guy we hung out with that actually had his own pad when we were in high school. A couple of my buddies worked at the McDonald's in town, and he was assistant manager. He had his own apartment. We'd go over there and, you know, do the bong and whatever. One night he spun the first album for me, and I remember I was laying
in those covers. Gollick.
What's Bill,
the story on him?
Bill Gollick. He was a
first two albums.
He was a student at RISD, Rhode Island School of Design.
Yeah, I played there.
And he was a friend of, I'm trying to remember which band member. I think he was a friend of Perlman's. And there's a.
Wasn't a band member, but like manager. Producer.
Well, Perlman was, yeah.
Lyric
manager,
writer.
Producer, yeah. And concept. He's the one that created the whole concept of Blue Oyster Cult. But Gollick, one interesting footnote. I'm reading this great book. It's by Martin Popoff. It's called Blue Oyster Cult Secrets Revealed. And, you know, it goes, delves deep into their songs. I mean, you know, they're very mysterious and they're very psychedelic, and then they're also, you know, they're soft metal, you know, and they just take me places. But what I've been reading in this book about Gollick was there's some people theorize that he became a taxi driver. He dropped out of RISD and became a taxi driver, and there's some people theorize that he was the one, the character that Scorsese based the movie Taxi Driver on. Yeah, so he like, yeah, nobody quite knows where he is to this day, you know.
Oh, wow.
But he would do these graphics, these intense perspective drawings of these, you know, miles of railroad tracks or elevators that go nowhere. Yeah, and
M.C. Escher.
Yeah, kind of like Escher, yeah. But
but it was hearing those records.
Well, back to the psychedelic part of it, a little early LSD, laying in the corner of a room, looking up at the perspective of the walls, and the music literally transported me. I'm like, it's like looking at, it was like looking, visualizing the cities with, like the album covers, with these elevators going up and futuristic things. It just took me to places. Just more or less through the music, and the lyrics were so mysterious. And on those first couple of albums, you had to mail away to get the lyrics, right?
Paper.
Because they were really basic, especially the first album, almost indecipherable.
Like
and that first production was, the drums were like muffled and poof, 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 you know, it wasn't really that well mastered, but it just had a style, you know.
I think Mark played me that, that it wasn't...
I played you the first three albums.
Yeah, they weren't...
Bob drove up to us in San Francisco.
I
heard all six Creedence
albums
and
like
first three of Blue
Oyster
Cult albums.
It's just, things were out of place in there, you know. Yeah, I got the ultimate... I got the entire Creedence and then followed by B.O.C. Hey... That's an honor, man.
Yeah, you know,
I'm exploiting every song.
Yeah.
Creedence, early on, my connection to Watt with Creedence, I remember hearing that Cosmos
Factory
when I was in junior high, and I was hooked from then on.
That's down the line. That's next to last.
But I think what's kept me intrigued with Blue Oyster Cult over the years, they put out some schlocky damn songs, you know, and they... But almost every album has some songs that are just amazing to this day, and Perlman's Imaginos, which was supposed to be like a trilogy of an album that the record companies wouldn't put out.
Yeah.
Well, they, yeah. That's a really interesting story.
There's little hints of it in some early songs.
He was heavily influenced by Lovecraft, who I've actually never read, but now I'm interested in starting to read it. Okay.
You know,
no, I don't. I haven't read any Lovecraft.
Yeah, it's about yet. There's something under, you know, you're in New England and there's some gates to the...
That explains it.
The cellar, right? The old ones are trying to come through into this dimension and suck us all out. And,
well, the Imaginos talks about the, you know, parallel universe and the less invisibles. And, you know, it's just, you know, I read a lot now that I'm 53 years old, but back then I was I was dyslexic, and so the music was just took me places that where I struggled with books.
You know what I really liked about them? I thought they were funny. I thought they were
satire, like the symbol. Yeah.
And when I saw them for some years, they had like a mock Nazi.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, when they do Dominance and Submission, it looks like Nuremberg or something when all the fists come up and it's Dominance
and
Submission.
And the album cover, well, they made a song to a German jet fighter during the Second War.
ME-262.
And he's there with the dogs all shot and
They
got the symbols. Now, I found out that symbol, I think Mr. Perlman invented, and it was...
Gallic. And it was a happy accident. He played around. It's loosely based on an ancient Greek symbol
for chaos
and or Saturn. But then he started making it like more, just started refining it, and so it's like an upside down backwards question mark. And then they put a washer, like a metal washer, in the middle of it to break the bars of the cross and the question mark. So
an exclamation point.
And so explanation, duality.
I made a, because the cryptic thing I was into too. I made a stencil. I cut it out of that symbol, and I spray painted a big one on the back of my shirt because first concerts didn't
have
merchandise and stuff. So I made my own T-shirt, and I was the only guy, San Pedro High,
with
Blue Oyster Cult on my T-shirt, and like no one knew what it was about. Yeah. So I was like, some dudes, I mean, they would play here regularly. They had a big crowd early.
You know what I was into before then, of course, was like freaking Hendrix and Zeppelin. Hendrix was, he still is it. I mean, he's like, but, you know. It's,
you know how much, we had some spiel with Mitch Mitchell and Jimi Hendrix on last show. And, Mitch Mitchell said, "Are You Experience" was recorded for about $1,000.
Gee, Christmas.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah.
You brought a guest.
Hi.
Hello. My name is
David. Hey, first time to Pedro.
Yeah.
All the way from Studio City.
Are you a surfer or not?
No.
He's back.
Hey. Welcome.
Oh, but you were Santa Barbara growing up.
No, went to the university there. Ah,
Goleta.
Bella Vista.
Bella Vista, yeah. 100 miles away. So, first time to Pedro. And Miss Peak need company?
Usually she brings
couch surfers. Are you couchsurfing.com people?
No, I had put an ad on Craigslist looking for someone to translate Thai because I'm a huge fan of the martial arts we were talking about earlier.
Oh, and MMA.
Yeah, and there's the, that's actually not the
she's guy. Into that too.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No, we talked about it, but I don't know how much she's into watching the fights.
You know, she's into doing it. We were at a gas station on tour. She did the first week, and she's doing some flying karate kicks on top of the heads, missing their face. I got some good shots.
Video of that, man.
I got stills.
Yeah, cool.
Just pulling it away, you know, the foot away, and the look on their faces is pretty priceless. So is she going to translate some Thai for you?
Yeah, because this fighter I'm like really passionate about.
Yeah.
He's going to be fighting soon. He's not MMA. He's only kickboxing. But he's
Muay
at the top.
Muay Thai.
Muay Thai, exactly. And he's at the top of the
There's team. A Muay Thai pad down here in Pedro.
Do you watch? Are you interested?
I got some front row seats when I was in Chiang Mai, and I saw this dude get killer kicked to his jaw and was laid out. Front row. At ringside.
That's cool. I wish I could see one now.
And what is his life story? What's being translated?
Yeah, basically everything pertaining to kickboxing, when he started,
Yeah.
And it was also interesting culturally, because she was like, one of the guys was talking, I don't know, we didn't know if he was talking about himself, if he was talking about the guy, if he was talking about the owner of the gym. Because I guess supposedly in Thai, they don't say he or, they just say he or she, they don't say.
Also, the third pronoun references.
Yeah, all these pronouns.
Oh, that makes you pay attention and think about it a little bit afterwards.
It's hard to know where the spiel is going.
That's interesting.
Because she's always playing up the image of Thai people wanting to be happy. She doesn't bring up this violent
wanting to be, but
they sort of look. They look the way they talk and the way they interact.
Yeah.
They just seem really like chilled out.
Yeah. But they have this kind of competitive.
I think it's only for the sport.
Or maybe self defense.
Yeah. And actually, we were also talking when they're in their stance, just bobbing around,
you know,
before they actually strike, they're really, their energy's conserved. But then once they explode, they're more than 100% of their exertion. But
also, it's kind of sweaty climate. You can't be going all out. You probably have to save it for
pick your spots. No frivolous showboating.
I've never been there, but
save it for the fight.
I like that. I like that. Sweaty, hot, humid environment.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't. A lot of people.
Yeah, me.
No, a lot of people complain about it. I just feel like I'm living. I feel like I'm alive.
I feel all tired.
Well, that slugs me out.
It slugs me out.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing feels good about it.
Yeah, today's kind of
I like
human
it all
day.
Except for the buff.
Yeah.
No, it definitely zaps you though.
Yeah.
That's why it's raining all the time.
I keep thinking of blood sport. You know how that illegal competition Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, remember? And it was
that's what the conservatives tried to portray mixed martial arts as.
Yeah.
But then once they started getting it commissioned by the athletic commissions in different states, it's still not legal, or rather, it's still not commissioned in New York.
The conservatives, as in the
John McCain, was like the main guy.
Man, because he didn't want it upstaging the old John Wayne stuff.
Probably.
Is the stuff you translate? Is it written in Thai?
Right.
Is it,
no, it was like a
Smith and Wesson.
It was a video comic.
Oh, it's speed.
No. Yeah. So he came over yesterday, and we were watching because I also wanted to see this.
Yeah.
And so I tried to listen and tell him what the guy is saying.
You're a fan of this cat, too? What's his name, this fighter?
Bokau? Bokau, which means white lotus.
White lotus.
I'll spell it. It's Buakaw.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bokau.
He's really a crazy, not like skilled, crazy skilled Muay Thai.
We were watching some of the other guys.
You know, lotus is a flower.
Are these guys big?
It's a flower that they're having a festival in Echo Park, but there aren't any lotuses anymore.
And no more ducks.
This intense fighter with a flower name. I like that.
It's very smiley.
Another guy.
Very smiley.
Now, these things.
Good luck, yeah.
Some fighters
name. Good luck?
Yeah.
Sort of like racehorse.
Yeah, good luck.
The peak.
You wish.
Peak, you're able to translate from a video as opposed to just listening, so
no,
you can
to,
get
I,
the body language gives helps with
I'm
the...
I'm not a
translator. Actually, the video wasn't synced perfectly, so she couldn't read. It was pretty funny.
I'm not a translator, and I got into wanting to do this because I also wanted to... get the idea of how people speak in this civil fighting world.
Yeah.
Because I'm going back to Thailand to do more photo documentary of Thai boxing and things like that. I had to most of the time listen to the entire context before I understand what they talk.
Yeah, right. But that's smart.
Do they have a different...
Most of that stuff doesn't work literal anyway.
Yeah, especially Asian to Western. Because it's kind of convey more of an idea than actually word to word situation. So.
Yeah, right. So you got to know what it's in reference to, the perspective.
And I couldn't help it. And luckily, David is keen to anthropology type idea that... I couldn't help it, but trying to translate the culture behind what they're talking about, you know, there's a whole...
Kicking the shit out of each other.
Well, here's one. I'm glad she brought that up, because the guy said that the specific fighter, he's not good at his kicks and knees, but he's better at... What did he say? What was the word he said?
I don't remember which part. He's
Oh, God, it's just, they're humble or something. It's like the Japanese, but...
So is there a different rhythm to the language, you know? Because fighter having like a boxer, you know, I will whoop you on Saturday night. Is there a cadence to their no, the way they speak staccato, really, or are they totally chill?
It's not like the UFC where they're trying to make
their right.
Yeah, have
no, so they sound really...
I look into your eyes and I see a little boy crying.
He petals will
one
fall
time,
off.
Sometimes Maraca say that about that.
Psych him out.
Who was he? Tito Santana. He was fighting Tito Santana. And, you know, the spiel with wrestling is almost bigger than the fight.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
yeah,
and
yeah.
He goes, Tito Santana, I look into your eyes and I see a little boy crying.
I love that. Ali.
Don Morocco's the guy who invented the pile driver.
No way.
Don Morocco, yeah. Hmm. He's one of my favorite wrestlers.
Well, the pile driver is...
That's a good
famous,
move.
Yeah,
good
move.
Good move. In fact, somebody just got killed from a pile driver. People Jesus. Say wrestling's fake and stuff, but...
The old boxing, they had good spiels. I remember Oscar goals. Bonavena, best yeah. known for the first guy to knock down Muhammad Ali, but at the press conference, I remember as a kid, it was at the Forum, one of the first fights he had there, and he's like, hey, Clay, why you no go to army? I will show you on Saturday night. Just classic, you know.
We'll see you on Saturday night on pay-per-view.
That was before pay-per-view, if yeah. it was Clay.
Yeah, it was closed yeah. circuit, yeah. which was...
Oh, yeah?
Well, actually, pay-per-view, and you go to some place like the Warner, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, a big movie theater, and they have, you know...
You had to go somewhere.
Vegas, yeah.
Some closed circuit.
What do you think of this tap out? Is this kind of related?
What about...
The Gracie thing and the...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
anything goes except
submission.
For eye gouging. And yeah.
Submission.
Much different. Not, doesn't really have Asian... Except maybe jiu-jitsu...
What yeah, I don't know the whole history, but
the Gracie know. Brothers, this kind of thing where you, it's not this dynamic slam, slam,
yeah,
slam.
Grapple.
It's more about getting position on the cat and okay. making him, submit.
It's called submission, yeah.
Yeah. They had it here
dominance.
In Pedro. It was called,
yeah.
the organization was called Tap Out.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do everything but eye gouge and crotch grab.
Well, I thought
and
tap,
bite.
Tap, there's a clothing company affiliated with mixed martial arts called Tap Out. So that's what I thought you were talking
See,
about.
The tap out, when you give the tap out,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of it's holds.
Out. You can get out. Those holds are basically you get into advantage mm. position
yeah.
that you...
You have the option of standing.
But
you
it's
the option of breaking it.
But the it's
yeah.
a lot
so
closer
to
Greco wrestling than the Asian kind of thing. It's just about positioning your body on hold. Sometimes it's moving very slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
You have the
they call it the gentle art or the,
yeah.
the smooth
yeah.
art.
But it's like twisting the guy's arm.
So is it huge in Thailand? I mean, is it like football here in America? I mean,
no,
do they fill
no,
arenas?
No.
And
you know? I grew up in Thailand, and boxing is considered sort of blue-collar
yeah.
class. People,
yeah.
it's gambling. And
yeah. Kind of like
right.
here, yeah.
I know there's gambling at the at the bouts.
Oh, they're
right.
like shady about it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, like where they have like high or lie, where they hand you a cut off, you know, a tennis ball cut in half, and you put your little bet in there.
Wow.
But I mean, looking up in you know what's going on in Thailand with that, it's of course you know the commercializing the idea that
yeah.
Muay Thai is becoming.
Porting it.
It's Muay Thai is very effective for MMA training. And so there's two things going on there. It's the Muay Thai and the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that is very good to train with. So there's a lot of camps that popped up in Thailand, all over Bangkok, and some beach towns that specifically train you on Muay Thai and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So it's just
that.
Another...
Wow.
Yeah, I just found this out recently because I've been looking around on what's going on there.
Different disciplines merging.
It's just... I think... How do you think the tourists want to go there and train?
Yeah.
And there's money
I'll
to
hear
be
this
made.
Part.
Yeah, money to be made, so there's a lot of camps.
Tell them about
so
what the one trainer said. He said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then on the other side, once I was translating this thing for David,
yeah.
and the trainer was kind of comparing the true Thai kickboxer versus tourists that come through.
Yeah.
And he just kind of, you know. Saying in passing, it's like, oh yeah, tourists, they can be good, but they usually come to Thailand for girls.
Yeah.
And in a way, it means that people have to be completely living the life to get as good as they want to be, not because they become a tourist and they do it out of hobby.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that whole lifestyle, which is rings true to most martial arts, I think. You know, like in Kung Fu or...
Yeah,
if I go there to train, I'm going to check out the... women too, right?
No, but it's
well, if you're good in Thailand.
It's like, I mean, right? If you're going to be in DOC, you're going to know about garlic. You're not going to just know Burning for You or the Reaper.
Right.
Yeah. This is some music.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. Our last chunk of music started off untitled because this was at a live gig in October 2nd, 2008. Joe Berardi, Emily Hay, Matoka Honda. I think it was in Downey, in some park inside like a multi-purpose room. And they had somebody doing that kind of a Buddha. Oh, God. It's some kind of interpretive dance. At
Budo?
Budo.
Yeah. Thank you.
In fact, one of the masters lives in L.A. Yeah, and trippy.
Yeah.
Very trippy. So you can't experience that on the recording, of course. But they were reacting to it because it's improvised. And I'm going to go see, well, two of them are going to play just before the gig I got to do tonight. In Long Beach, I'm going to go downtown L.A., near Al's Bar area, which I haven't been to in a long time.
It's changed down there quite a bit.
I've played that place for 20 years.
Yeah.
That's where they built a lot of the new sort of condos. It's
It's around 3rd and Attraction.
Is Al's Bar still there?
Yeah, I was just there the other night.
No.
Of course it is.
When the Neon Museum left about the same time.
Joe Baez lived upstairs. Huh?
Bloom's General Store.
Oh, is that right? That was right there. This is some pad called Metropole or something. That's a cafe.
Oh, yeah, Cafe Metropole.
You know it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where it is.
You have to shut the music at 10.
It's at, well, 8 o'clock's the thing. I got
to
play.
Yeah, that used to be in Anything Goes neighborhood.
Right,
you know,
by Crazy Gideon's.
And then we heard
Industrial.
Something.
Whoa, what about me?
Yeah.
Bring them back.
Respectful Restriction by the band Now. Something live they did in Tokyo. And then from Belgium, we heard Donker Duschen by Jan van Get Band. So.
Donker Duschen. Is that your scatological piece of the week?
Well, Van, when you see it like that, it means from, like Dirk Vandenberg, okay. Like Dirk from the Hill. So van Get, if you know about Belgium, that's one of the big towns. So it's probably John from, again, I've played there a few times. They had this one building pad. It had the front of the pad had a big Coca-Cola, this is done like bass relief kind of thing, you know, breaking out in the front of the thing. And yeah, not an advertisement, like some kind of art thing. Just one time we played there. Sonic Youth was playing. We chowed in a restaurant. Did I ever tell you about this? Where I got all... Lee had this big bottle of Johnny Walker and...
You got all the show?
You know? Okay, so I drank the whole fucking thing.
Hurled
and,
all over
the and then...
Peak, Happy New Year.
Let me tell a story about it. I'm asking the waiter for the head because I got a piss. And I never got the chance to be enlightened, or maybe I was, but I didn't understand. So I just started pissing in the planter thing behind the table.
You didn't bring a bottle with you or anything.
I should have pissed in a Johnny Walker bottle, man.
I mean,
then it could, when been full cycle.
The plant flourished, so they forgive him.
So Thurston took me and in my clothes, takes me to the towel and puts me in the shower. In the old style Europe pads, the showers ain't any different than the head. You know, it's all tiled and there's the shower head. You know, ain't a little booth or something. He just turns it on. I'm in the coat and the Levi's and flannel and. I just conked, all soaking wet, you know, laying there. And I woke up. That's my Ghent. That's Watt from Ghent story.
Ghent.
But I'm sorry I didn't puke for you.
Thank you.
I'll tell you a story where I did puke.
Yeah.
Okay, this is in New York
City. High heaven.
I think it's in the late 90s or something. And
were they gobbing on you at a show?
I go to this place. I remember Evan was there. Evan Dano was there. And they got Stooges on the jukebox. So I'm drinking a bourbon.
Bourbon.
Keep playing the fucking same Stooges songs over and over. And so the people at the pad get kind of upset. You know, singing along, of course. So I get booted out, and it just snowed. So everything covered, white. And
I don't know. It was kind of a protest thing. So I puked out there in front of their pet. It was a white
protest.
No.
Are you sure it wasn't the fact that you played We Will Fall like three times and that got
it was, you? It was. It was like Loose and TBI because it was riding stuff and I kept over and over. You know, nobody got their lane.
So that's why Iggy hired you. I knew there was a secret reason. That's
no,
cool.
No, Iggy wasn't there.
But he heard about
Evan
it.
Evan Dando was there, I remember. Because I think he was got kicked out with me for hollering and singing it, too. If I remember.
I live for people like you.
But that's...
Now that's only wish
that's
we had peak
puke.
There.
I got some other puke stories, but not that many. I got one where I puked in my beard and had to walk to the toilet.
What?
Do you have time for it?
Be more informative. Yeah, we got 4 minutes. But yeah, well, what happened was,
who was this with? Which band?
Yeah, that's like a major flavor saver.
In Pittsburgh. You know Pittsburgh, it's got very
meal
steep
saver.
Hills.
Meal saver.
And it's a row, a bunch of brownstone, and I parked the boat, you know, and they all go to the pad. I can't tell what pad they went into. I'm hollering, you know, the streetcar name of desire thing. Yeah, and no, I don't know where they are. So I go conk in the boat.
Georgie.
In the driver's seat. Because the angle of the boat is so steep. I think, well, I'll hold on to the steering wheel. You know, I conk, I let go of the steering wheel, and I end up, of course, by the pedals on the deck. And it's actually, the boat's shaking because I think it was too close to fire hydrant. And they're going to tow it away. And I had drank all this vodka and I puked it in. I had a big beard, and so I puked it in there. And the tow truck driver was pretty freaked out. On this.
Yeah.
So I just, he said, "You can pay me, man." So I paid him, and they didn't tow the boat. And I still didn't know where my guys are. And but there's a Howard Johnson's down the street.
Was that?
And so I go down Howard Johnson's, kind of a restaurant hotel thing.
And they have good fried
plans.
So I go
down. It's like fucking
a pimped up Denny's with
arms.
A pimped up Denny's with a hotel, basically.
Yeah,
you know?
Not even pimped up.
Pimped down. That's why it's called Hojo.
And the faucet ain't working in that.
Oh no!
And I gotta get this puke out of my beard. You know, people are looking at me. It stinks. So there's no piss or dirt in the toilet. So I just, and it was one of them pressure kind, you know, with the handles. So I just,
no,
hangs and I got it.
Oh man!
And you know what? He wouldn't shave the beard till the end of the tour, and he has it in his freezer actually.
Okay. I want to thank our guest, Brother Matt. Of course, thank you, Brother Matt, for saving it.
And our host,
Essential. Skipper Jeff, for pulling into the Colorado berth here and cool. Turning us on to some great infos.
Honored.
Bob making the hell ride from Echo Park.
Wow.
Speak, a new man, David, for, that's my middle name.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Making even further hell ride from Val.
Davis.
Studio City.
Echo, wait. Oh, yeah, Echo Park will be closer.
Look, you go over the hill to get to Studio City. I know, I've had to, it's 38 miles when I prac with Kay. She's like Madrona and No, what's that one called? Moore Park in...
to a cold water, but that'd be...
You know what Moore Park is, spelled backwards?
Whitley?
Anybody?
Witset.
Moore Park spelled backwards is crap room.
Wow.
Well,
keeps going west until you do hit Moore Park.
Well, in honor of Guy Saxon, I'll say that he's the first guy to make sense on the thing with dogs and unconditional love, because dogs spelled backwards is God. So
yeah, that's
it
right.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah. Some people think so.
Some kind
of conspiracy.
Sure.
And Noon spells the same thing.
Palindrome.
Okay, with that, we say goodbye to July 11, 2009, Wapa Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Keep your powder dry.